شاء الله. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
The debate.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. Thousands gathered in London to call on G7 leaders to end their support for the Israeli regime. They demanded an end to what they called complicity in Israel's war crimes against Palestinians. In this edition of The Debate, we will scrutinize the role that developed countries are playing in the ongoing suffering of Palestinians and the pro-Palestinian protesters' demands.
As the G7 descended on Cornwall for the summit, thousands of passionate pro-Palestine protesters amassed outside Downing Street in central London on Saturday to vent their anger over ongoing Israeli crimes against the Palestinians.
These protesters are absolutely furious at the lack of action from world leaders following Israel's recent and relentless attacks on Gaza and the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Although a ceasefire has been agreed since then, the fact that Palestinians are still forced to live under an apartheid regime has bitterly fueled the anger of these protesters who want to force a change.
Protesters had various demands, including international recognition of the Palestinian state and an end to Israeli arms sales.
If arms are used in violation of international law, they must be banned, embargoed immediately. Also, the issue of settlement products, they must be banned immediately. Those are illegal products. The recognition of the state of Palestine is long overdue. We do not understand why the UK government is not even listening to the voices of its own people, the voices of its own parliament that voted overwhelmingly to recognize the state of Palestine. The lack of recognition is not only immoral, it is undemocratic.
Place an embargo on Israel. Stop the arms deal. So this is the message that we're sending to. The people are with us. We're in our thousands. And we are going to continue until, honestly, the Palestinians are free and occupation is ended.
We are not going to forget the mark of shame upon the history of this country that brought us to where we are today, the Balfour Declaration. We demand a public apology from the British government as well as recognition of our state of Palestine. On top of that, we want sanctions now. We want justice. We want action.
The bombs may have temporarily stopped falling, but while Israel's systematic discrimination against the Palestinian people continues, so will the protests. Robert Carter, London.
Now, to discuss that further, we're joined by Youssef Al-Halou, Palestinian journalist and political analyst, who is joining us from London, and also Mr. William Morris from the Next Century Foundation, the Secretary General, of course. Thank you very much for joining us, both of you. Let's begin with Youssef Al-Halou now. Labour lawmaker and former party leader Jeremy Corbyn addressed the crowd and stressed that industrial powers should end human rights abuses. What exactly did he mean by that?
Well, thank you for having me. Let's just assert that despite the fact that the ceasefire is still holding, it is fragile. That ceasefire did not end Israel's military occupation. And to put things into context, the Palestinian cause is gaining momentum. We saw those demonstrators in the British capital demanding the British government to impose embargo or stop arming Israel. Corbyn and other political figures, of course, they know clearly that Israel is enjoying a culture of impunity. When it comes to interests, we know that many countries around the world take Israel as a strategic ally. So we are not expecting the G7 leaders to really denounce Israel, because obviously Israel is as a proxy for those nations in the Middle East. And also, let me just remind the viewers that even the Palestinian mission in London, Mr. Hossam Dumour, who just spoke in the report, he said that he believes that the UK believes that Israel is violating international law. So such statements from Corbyn or other officials, of course, reflects the hypocrisy of the international community. When it comes to the Palestinian rights, Palestinians are being dealt with as subhumans, are being demonized because simply they are resisting the Israeli occupation.
Thank you very much. Let's bring in Mr. William Morris. In what ways do you believe that the G7 leaders are considered complicit in Israel's war crimes?
I don't even believe you're on the same planet as I am. I don't call them war crimes. I mean, unless you're talking about many governments in the Middle East having committed war crimes. No, I mean, the G7 leaders met to consider China, climate change, and COVID. Israel was not on their agenda, but the Palestinian
Corps... Of course, Mr. Morris, this was what the protesters were demanding. We're talking about the protests outside the summit, not what was happening inside the meeting.
Okay, well, there were big issues that occupied their time that they met to discuss. Now, Israel and Palestine is back on the agenda internationally in a major way, and this is actually a consequence of this little war that's gone on. So there is a real opportunity for Middle East peace, and if nations in the region, including Iran, and nations internationally, including the United States of America, tried to really support moves towards a Middle East peace, we might get somewhere this time around. It's very encouraging that we have a new government in Israel. I mean, it's not the kind of government that is perfection, not by a mile, but it's a bit of fresh air. So we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to build a peace instead of ongoing hatred, and that is an opportunity that should not be lost at this moment.
So, Mr. Morris, how do you believe peace can be achieved as long as Israel is not respecting international law and its international obligations? I'm referring to the settlement buildings in particular.
International law has never been respected by anybody unless it's convenient to the great powers, Russia or America or whoever. I mean, you know, under international law, Jerusalem should be a state, as you know, a corpus separatum. It should be an international city. International law is utterly meaningless, but what matters is what people care about and what can be done to make for fair play and a way forward. And there's a real opportunity for peace now. It's interesting, Biden, who is a Zionist, but then all of us in the West are Zionists because we all believe in an Israeli state.
Let's bring in Mr. Yusuf Al-Halou.
Yes, about the future.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morris. Let's bring in Yusuf Al-Halou. Now, Mr. Halou, what do you have to say in response to Mr. Morris? He says that, first of all, there were no war crimes committed there, not more than anywhere else in the world, and also international law is not respected by anyone, and that's a good excuse for Israel not to respect international law as well.
Well, even Israeli figures, they say that Israel is an apartheid state. Israel is even worse than an apartheid state. And we know that Israel is annoyed from the BDS campaign. That's why it has allocated millions of pounds or dollars to combat those activists who are calling for disarming Israel or sanctioning Israel. Ironically, Israel is being viewed as the only democracy in the Middle East. And Israel is allowed to arm itself to the teeth with military equipment from the United States. And Israel has been using Gaza as a testing ground for its weapons. So Israel is a strategic ally, as I said, to those nations, because obviously there is intelligence collaboration, and Israel is demonizing the West Western agenda when it comes to self-defense, as if Israel is only allowed to defend itself from those Palestinian, homemade rockets or resistance activities, whereas Palestinians who have been subjected to military brutal occupation since 1948, they have no right whatsoever to defend themselves. So obviously, crimes were committed, atrocities, ethnic cleansing is still ongoing since 1948. So obviously, everybody knows that Israel has violated the numerous UN resolutions. Israel, considers itself above the international law. It's a rogue state. It has never respected any regulation or convention or international UN Security Council resolution.
Mr. Al-Halu, Mr. Morris believes that now, with a new Israeli government, of course that is if they win a vote of confidence from the Knesset, with a new Israeli government, there will be hope for peace. How optimistic are you?
We are not optimistic at all, because we know that the Israeli government or Israeli successive governments, they use Palestinian blood as a winning card. We know the settlers, they are allowed to behave in this provocative manners, attacking Palestinians, confiscating Palestinian lands in Sheikh Jarrah or elsewhere. So we do not pin high hopes on any government, because we know from previous experiences that Israel is not interested in peace, and this is crystal clear.
Thank you very much. Mr. Morris, you heard Mr. Al-Halu. He says that Israel is basically not interested in peace, and the settlement buildings also confirm that. So why do you think a new government in Israel, which of course we do know the right wing still has the most power, and those are the ones that insist on the settlement buildings, why do you think there's room for peace?
Much of your rhetoric, and I'm sorry, it's based on hatred. And if you go on about apartheid state and hate, you're not going to build a climate for peace. And if you are no hopers that regard the situation as being hopeless, then you may as well crawl into a hole and forget it. I mean, people have to work for peace. And there is a real need, both on the Palestinian side as well as on the Israeli side, for new government and for a new approach. Abu Mazen has lost the plot. I mean, he scarcely has any credibility. Hamas say they won't. It's very convenient for them that they don't have to negotiate with Israel, because they can say Israel won't negotiate with them. It's all very childish. But we have a situation in which the Palestinians have given Israel a wake-up call, and nobody can take the Palestinians for granted anymore. So it is time and opportunity to build peace now, and to build on this current situation, and to find a better way forward. And the international powers can help in this, and not just the United States of America, but Russia, Britain, and the others. And I think there is a mood, a genuine mood, to do something. It does require help from the Palestinians, and it requires help from countries like Iran. I mean, Iran arguably provided weapons to Gaza. I don't know, you know better than I would. But, Iran is a player in this game. I don't think we'd have peace in the Middle East unless Iran is interested in helping build peace in the Middle East. But it's an opportunity.
Well, Iran's position has always been very clear, Mr. Morris. They want what the people of Palestine want. Iran has always been a supporter of Palestinian people, and Iran has always called for a referendum to decide what should happen in Israel. Now, let's go back to our topic, which was the protest. Mr. Morris, what was the demands of this Resist G7 coalition? What were they trying to achieve, and do you believe that they got close to their goals or not?
I think it's important that there were protests because it does help raise, there are protests on many things, as you know, at this moment, not just on Israel and Palestine, but there are many, many protests around the G7 on a whole range of issues. The most predominant one was on climate change, but nonetheless, it does help having this kind of, this raised awareness of the situation in Israel and Palestine. And so protests matter. They matter hugely in the West. They make a great difference. As to the rhetoric we hear, I mean, much of it is pretty extreme and unhelpful, but that's not the point. The point is that the issue is back on the table. Peace is back on the table. We have an opportunity. And you refer to settlement building. One of Abu Mazen's sins has been to halt peace negotiations as long as settlement building continues. Makes a very easy excuse for people, right-wingers like Benjamin Netanyahu, who can rub his hands in glee. I mean, something Arafat would never have done. He can rub his hands in glee and sit back and say, okay, so they won't talk to us, so we won't talk to them. But fortunately, we have the chance of a new government in Israel. We just need the same in Palestine, and we might move forward.
Thank you very much. Mr. Al-Halu, what is your response to Mr. Morris? Do you believe that there is a chance for peace with a new government in Palestine?
Well, we Palestinians, we are peace-loving people. Well, we hope so. You know, there will always be hope. But we know that according to Oslo Accords, by the year 2000, Palestinians should have had their own Palestinian state. And Israel destroyed the Palestinian cause ever since the provocative visit of Sharon at the time in the year 2000. We are fed up from this occupation. Enough is enough. And Netanyahu himself, he repeated many times saying that the land is too small to be shared. So it's obvious that Israel is not interested to have a Palestinian state not next to its. And by the way, let's just make it clear, Israel has no recognized border. Israel has no constitution. So what peace we are talking about? Gaza, West Bank, East Jerusalem is less than 20% of historic Palestine. So even if this viable Palestinian state was agreed to be established, then it will be demilitarized. I mean, Palestinians are really eager to see peace prevail in the Middle East. So, but unfortunately, that we are being let down. We don't have high hopes when it comes to assuring Palestinians, oh, you have to adopt the nonviolent resistance, the peaceful methods. We tried everything. And by the way, President Abbas is Israel's best Palestinian leader at the time, because obviously, it's not a hidden fact that the Palestinian Authority has made many concessions, whether it's during Arafat era or Abbas era. So any Palestinian leader, obviously, the Palestinian side is the weakest side. Let's disagree on that. Israel is the one who is dictating these rules, because the Palestinian Authority is receiving the financial support from donor countries. So Palestinians, they have no sovereignty. So at the end of the day, let's hope that the new government in Israel will strike deal with the Palestinians. But we don't have high hopes, to be honest.
Now, Mr. Al-Halu, Mr. Morris also mentioned that the voices of Palestinians are now being heard. Do you believe so?
I think the new generation is making a huge impact and effect. We saw the activists in Sheikh Jarrah. We saw new faces on the ground. The Palestinian cause is back to the forefront. What happened recently in those neighborhoods in Jerusalem, or the aggression on Gaza, has sent shockwaves. It's an awakening, because the world also is fed up. The world is annoyed from the fact that Israel continues year after year, day after day, with the occupation, atrocities, killing, imprisonment, confiscation of lands, and so on. The list is too long. So let's just put things into context. Israel can end the occupation now if it wants to, but it doesn't want that because it enjoys the control of other people, the Palestinians.
Thank you very much. Mr. Morris, now you heard what Mr. Al-Halu said. On the other hand, you seem to be very optimistic. So if you could please tell us about this demonstration, and you did also mention that their voices are heard and now they can make an impact. Do you believe that these G7 leaders will take any steps in order to get closer to the goal that you mentioned, peace?
Oh, 100%. I think it's a priority for Biden, less so perhaps for the others. But Biden has sort of begun to indicate that he really does care about this issue. Now, I did say he was a Zionist, but he has done some interesting little things. He's reopened the U.S., well, what was it, a consulate, but basically the U.S. offices in East Jerusalem, which haven't been there for, what, 20 years, 30 years? I mean, I can't remember them being open. So he's beginning to make a kind of a move, and I'm very encouraged. I think that there is a care about the man. He does care about the Israel-Palestine situation, and he wants a viable Israeli state as well as a viable Palestinian state. He's a two-state man, whatever his sins. So, you know, I think, and he'd be better with regard to Iran. Compared to Donald Trump, he's a breath of fresh air. I would like to see a new leader on the Palestinian side, someone like Marwan Barghouti, who could actually negotiate peace but isn't actually asleep all the time. But that said, it is an opportunity, and we do have a chance for a better tomorrow now.
So, Mr. Morris, protesters were also predominantly talking about BDS, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, to force Israel to respect Palestinian rights. Do you think this has played a role in pushing Israel towards moving towards peace?
You're an Iranian, and you support sanctions. You know what they've done to Iran. Sanctions are always wrong, always wrong. I mean, okay, arguably against apartheid South Africa. But since that day, they've never been effective. All they've done is punished ordinary people, punished ordinary Iranians or ordinary Syrians. Look at Syria under sanctions. I mean, you know, and the BDS, I mean, boycott. Well, fortunately, in my view, it's not made that much of an impression. But what has made an impression is these protests. They do matter. And if you want, the biggest thing in the United Kingdom, where I'm living, has been the Balfour Initiative. I don't know whether you've come across it, but that was very powerful, an activist campaign for a Palestinian state, which was very respected and brought Corbyn on board and his team. So, I mean, we have an opportunity. Actually, there is a Palestinian state. There is a Palestinian state. Let's just make this clear. And the campaign for greater recognition is an important one, as Mr. Halou mentioned. It's a very important one. It's gaining momentum, and I think that matters a great deal.
So, Mr. Al-Halou, what is your opinion regarding the BDS movement?
Well, solidarity is as important as the BDS campaign. Well, this is what Palestinians are adopting. They say that the BDS is effective, and this can be seen from Israel's reaction by fighting those activists worldwide, by classifying those BDS activists as anti-Semite. We know that Israel is also annoyed from the growing solidarity when it comes to celebrities. We've seen the angry reaction from Israeli officials towards those celebrities, you know, Ms. Hadid and the other ones. So this is what the Palestinians are left with. You know, the Palestinians have tried everything. And they hope that by following the footsteps of the South African experience, this might mount pressure on Israel. What they can do. Israel has got, you know, the powerful army in the region, whereas Palestinians, when they throw stones, they are described as terrorists. So we have a double standard policy here. Palestinians, they will try everything possible on the table just to make their voices heard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Youssef Al-Halou, Palestinian journalist and political analyst, joining us from London, and also Mr. William Morris, the Next Century Foundation Secretary General. Thank you very much to both of you gentlemen for joining us on this edition of The Debate.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life. Aitor Jawadi talks about the various keys of life and has brought about this book to be a companion for the very famous Mafatil Jiran, where one is a tool or the keys for paradise, and this book, of course, are the keys of life.
The Keys of Life, a program designed to tell you that what Islam gives you will help get you home with joy and faithfulness. So, well, listen to
The Keys of Life.
The world is a very, very big house, many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up, we must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. My name is Sheikh Zayd Al Salami. A few years ago I started the course of wanting to commentate on a very important book that I believe is something that would be useful for everyone who reads it, and that is the book Mafatih Al Hayat, written by Ayatollah Al-Uzma Al-Sheikh Jawadi Amuli. So we were talking about believers and how do we deal with fellow mu'mineen, mu'minat. We do understand that we have to try to strengthen that network of brotherhood, sisterhoods. There's so many things that we need to work on in our communities. I understand that there's also that issue of tension that might exist between the fellow believers. They're of your same rank, they're of your same party, they're of your same faith. How about if someone, you know, is not counted among the mu'mineen, but among the, what we say, fasiqeen, among the sinful, among those who are, of course, morally corrupt, spiritually corrupt, religiously corrupt. Of course, what I want to do as a Muslim, I want to protect myself, I want to safeguard myself, I want to make sure that I am not influenced in the bad way by anyone who is around me. You know, this is my right, you know, this is my obligation. You know, I don't want in any way to be dragged down by the wrongdoings of somebody else. So I need to classify and categorize those people who are around me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا, which is just one simple example of how we need to see a fasiq as, if a corrupt person, if a sinful person comes to you with some information, فتبينوا, then verify that information. You know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that, you know, maybe this fasiq person might be a liar, might be deceitful. You know, if he has or she has no fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is not wary of God's presence in what it is that he or she says, then they might say something that is contrary to the reality. And that's why even, again, Almighty God says, وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا. Don't even accept a testimony from a fasiq, from a corrupt or a person of debauchery. Now, talking about this, of course, means that we need to understand it's important to place down boundaries. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he said to Kumail, Ya Kumail, and in a long hadith, and from that he said, وَهْجُرِ الْفَاسِقِينَ, and abandon, avoid, stay away from the corrupt. You know, there's an Arabic saying, قُلْ لِي مَنْ تُعَاشِرْ أَقُلْ لَكْ مَنْ أَنْتْ. Tell me who you associate with, who you mix with, and I'll tell you who you are.
Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, the author of the book Mafatih al-Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatih al-Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرون درختکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره دعا هم داره ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته دارم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
We are able to define who an individual is by the circle of people that he or she associates with. And you think that you won't be influenced by the people who you socialize with, who you associate with, absolutely far from reality if that's the way that you think, because whether we like it or not, consciously, subconsciously, we pick up on habits of those who are around us. And if we are influential, if we are influencing them, that's a very, very good thing. But at the same time, you know, other people are going to say, well, you know, who does so-and-so hang around with? Does he hang around with mu'mineen? Does he hang around with righteous people? Does he hang around with holy people? Does he hang around with people who are of good reputation? The answer is going to be, no, well, he hangs around with bad people, corrupt people, and whatnot. That's not good, of course, a good image for ourselves. Does this mean we abandon them altogether? We isolate them, we marginalize them, and all these other things that one might think of? Absolutely not. You know, let me read this hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Imam al-Baqir salamullahi alayhi, he said that his father, Imam Ali al-Sajjad alayhi salam, said this to him, gave him this advice. It's a long hadith, so I will read it. And I'm always reading the Arabic as well, because I'm very sure many of my dear brothers and sisters also understand Arabic, and also for the tabarruk, for the barakah itself of reading out the nurani words of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Ya bunayya unzur khamsatan fala tusahibhum wala tuhadithhum wala turafiqhum fi tariq. There are five kinds of people where you need to observe that you don't befriend them, you don't converse with them, and you don't associate with them or accompany them in any trip or any path. فَقُلْتُ يَا أَبَتِي مَنْهُمْ عَرِّفْنِيهُمْ. O Father, Imam al-Baqir said, O Father, who are they? Tell me who they are. And he said, إِيَّاكَ, number one, إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحَبَةُ الْكَذَّابِ. Stay away from befriending a liar, a kathab, a liar, someone who excessively lies. And there are, unfortunately, some people who might lie here and there, which that itself is bad, but then you have someone who is a compulsive liar. That's a very, very big problem. فَإِنَّهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ السَّرَابِ. Because a liar is like a mirage, like a deceitful illusion, like a mirage. بِمَنْزِلَةِ السَّرَابِ يُقَرِّبُ لَكَ الْبَعِيدِ وَيُبَعِدُ لَكَ الْقَرِيبِ. That which is far away, the liar makes you feel that it is close, and that which is close, the liar makes you feel that it is far away. Inshallah, we'll continue on in the next episode. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi tahirin.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time. Memories fade like a dusty window pane, and you can't see your past no more. The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart that will always be there, be there.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
The World with Reporters.
Iran's AB Home and several lawyers have filed a complaint against Mölnlycke Healthcare, a Swedish medical device company, over its refusal to sell medical products to Tehran under U.S. pressures. Mölnlycke Healthcare refused to sell Iranian AB patients medical care items they needed, including Mepilex dressings. Several children in Iran who suffered from epidermolysis bullosa lost their lives due to the lack of urgently needed medical equipment, and some others were hurt by severe physical injuries, including amputation. Many human rights groups have criticized the U.S. for cutting off banking ties with Iran through threatening the international banks with punitive fines by the U.S. Department of Treasury, which has resulted in cutting Iranian patients' access to necessary medical items.
Since May 2018, that the U.S. unilaterally withdrew from the JCPOA, up to May 2019, a number of children suffering from EB died only because they did not have Mepilex dressings. I want to tell those who claim to be defenders of human rights what has been the crime of this 37-day-old baby who died of the disease only because we did not have Mepilex dressings as a result of the U.S. sanctions.
The move has deprived EB patients, also known as butterfly patients, of essential medical items, killed many of them, especially children, and inflicted serious physical injuries, such as amputation, to some of the patients. The complaint seeks to protect the victims of the open violation of human rights committed by the Swedish company and prevent similar criminal measures.
The Iranian Center for International Criminal Law, an NGO based in The Hague, has submitted a complaint to the Swedish National Contact Point stating that the Swedish company had breached the OECD guidelines by failing to undertake appropriate human rights due diligence, adversely affecting the human rights of EB patients in Iran and failing to remedy its impact. The lawsuit calls on Swedish National Contact Point to hold the company accountable and take action to compensate for the losses Iranian EB patients have suffered and to resume trading with Iran.
Nearly 30 Iranian EB patients, mostly children, have died since Mölnlycke stopped selling its dressings to Iran, saying that for EV survivors, the pain has increased by 70%.
Iranian officials have repeatedly blasted the U.S. for imposing sanctions against the country, stressing that such inhumane sanctions have intensified the sufferings of kids with no access to special medicines for incurable diseases. Salman Kujuri, Tehran.
Iran's president-elect Ebrahim Raisi has highlighted the principles of his government's foreign policy in his first news conference since his election last week. Raisi took a jab at the U.S. and Europe for the failure to live up to their commitments under the 2015 nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the JCPOA.
The Americans violated the JCPOA and the Europeans did not comply with their commitments. The U.S. was obliged to remove all sanctions under the JCPOA, but it has failed to do so. The Americans should return and fulfill their commitments. I tell the Europeans not to be impacted by the pressure and the foreign policy of the Americans and to fulfill their obligations under the JCPOA.
This comes as Iran and the remaining signatories to the JCPOA are engaged in talks in the Austrian capital to revive the accord, which has been hanging in the balance since former U.S. President Donald Trump unilaterally withdrew from it in 2018 and reimposed sanctions as part of his administration's maximum pressure campaign against the Islamic Republic. Raisi said his government will support negotiations that ensure Iran's national interests, but also made it clear that his foreign policy will not be limited to the nuclear pact.
Maximum pressure hasn't worked on our people, and so they must reconsider and return. Our people have shown that they resist pressures, and they must know that foreign policy of our administration is not a start with the JCPOA and will not be limited to it either.
And this is how he responded to calls by some Western countries for including Iran's missile program in the Vienna talks to revive the JCPOA.
Iran's regional and missile programs are not negotiable. They have not fulfilled their commitments regarding issues that have already been negotiated and agreed upon. How can they enter into new discussions?
Raisi said his administration will focus on an expansive and balanced interaction with the world and would also be open to restoring ties with Saudi Arabia.
Ties with neighboring countries will be my administration's priority. With regard to ties with Saudi Arabia, there is no obstacle from the Iranian side to the reopening of embassies within the two countries.
Raisi also touched on the Saudi-led war on Yemen, calling for an immediate end to the conflict. Tehran has stressed that it seeks to establish ties with all countries based on mutual respect. Now it seems to be seen how Western and regional countries will deal with the new administration when Raisi takes office in August after he won over 60% of the vote in last week's election.
The week that saw British PM Boris Johnson's Conservative Party lose a previously safe parliamentary seat to the Liberal Democrats in a by-election northwest of London had another surprise in store. Former Parliament Speaker John Bercow changing allegiances and joining the opposition Labour Party and sharing harsh words about the Conservative Party and its leader.
If you believe, as I do, that this government is bad news, unfit to govern, and that the Prime Minister, though a successful campaigner, is a lousy governor.
The former Parliament Speaker went on to describe the Prime Minister as someone who has only a nodding acquaintance with the truth in a leap year, and complimented Labour leader Keir Starmer as an honest man.
His move to Labour signifies the sort of internal corruption and hostile and aggressive attitude, the return of the nasty party in terms of this current government.
John Bercow wasn't always anti-conservative. In fact, he started his career in 1997 as a self-described rabid right-winger and served as a conservative MP for 12 years, but says his political stripes have changed.
My values are left of center. I do not identify with the Conservative Party.
In 2009, he was elected as Parliament Speaker, a job he kept for the next 10 years. Although he kept his links with his former party, he wasn't very popular with the Conservative MPs,
especially over Brexit. That led to the Prime Minister not putting his name forward for peerage. Berko denies his pivot to Labour has anything to do with it.
Berko's explanation of why he joined the Labour Party bears credence. The modern context of the Tory Party is one of corruption, one of regressive policy in very many areas, including international aid, one of cronyism at the highest level.
The UK Parliament's first Jewish former speaker also described the Conservative Party and its leader Boris Johnson as reactionary, populist, nationalistic, and sometimes even xenophobic.
Berko insists that his pivot to the left is not personal against the Prime Minister, that he has reached a conclusion that the current government needs to be replaced, and that the only vehicle through which to achieve that objective is the Labour Party. Saeed Pour is up, London.
Yemen's Ansarullah movement blamed the United Nations for the Saudi atrocities committed against Yemeni children. The movement said the UN has always been providing the political cover-up for the Saudi war crimes. This came after the United Nations added the Ansarullah movement to its blacklist of groups for violating children's rights.
We were not surprised by this decision because the UN had removed the name of Saudi Arabia from its blacklist of the groups violating children's rights. The United Nations have not taken any real steps to protect the rights of Yemeni children who die every day due to continued blockade on food, medicine, and fuel. I believe that this is a resounding scandal for the Secretary General of the UN, who began his second term with this decision.
The member of the Supreme Political Council, Mohammed Al-Houthi, dismissed as baseless the UN accusation, saying it did not refer to an investigation on the ground as the movement has demanded. Meanwhile, the Minister of Information said the UN has turned a blind eye to the ongoing Saudi blockade on Yemenis, which causes the death of tens of Yemeni children on a daily basis.
This classification wasn't based on realistic data. We used to have the United Nations as a political cover for the war on Yemen and the killing of more Yemeni women and children, whether because of a continuous Saudi blockade or because of the airstrikes of Saudi fighter jets. This decision revealed to the world the true face of the United Nations, that it serves the agenda of the countries funding the UN.
Saudi Arabia and its allies launched a devastating war against Yemen in March 2015. The war has killed thousands of civilians, including women and children, and turned the war-torn country into the world's worst humanitarian crisis, according to the United Nations.
Observers say the United Nations blacklisting of Ansarullah is politically motivated and has no relation to the humanitarian situation of Yemen. They believe that the UN must take real actions against the Saudi blockade if it has real intentions to end the suffering of millions of Yemenis. Abdul Latif Al Washali, Sana'a.
On Friday, a Palestinian Day event dubbed Women Fighting for Freedom took place in the Verano Garden, not far from Rome's major University of La Sapienza. The one-day initiative gave the public a taste of what the next Palestine festival will be in September. The focus was on the role played by the women in safeguarding the Palestinian culture from the Israeli occupier.
The women play a crucial role in all struggles, whether they are Chileans, Cubans or Palestinians. It's the women who provide an education to the young Palestinians. It's the women who provide assistance in the refugee camps. It's them, again, who pass down our culture through the generations.
The role of the women fighting for freedom was discussed during a round table. The liberation of the territories from the Israeli occupation and the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination were also among the topics touched on during the meeting.
Over the past days, Israel has resumed bombarding the northern parts of the Gaza Strip. This after hundreds of Palestinians, including women and children, were killed in previous Israeli bombardments of the Gaza Strip carried out between May 10 and May 20. Israel's airstrikes also brought widespread devastation to the already impoverished territory.
What is going in Palestine is clearly against
international law against the UN resolutions, and what is happening by keeping some countries their silence is giving impunity to the occupier.
Purtroppo finché questo mondo.
Unfortunately, nothing will change if the UN and all major countries continue not to take a firm stance on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
People at Rome's Palestinian Day event have called on Palestinians to remain steadfast and fight for their rights despite their suffering. Max Civili, Rome.
Israeli forces carried out a full-scale military offensive against the Gaza Strip, targeting civilian areas and infrastructure in a clear violation of international humanitarian law. During this attack, Israel damaged paved roads and other infrastructure, including Gaza sewage treatment stations and networks. 18 sewage water pumps were damaged, and Gaza Central sewage treatment stations were unable to function as employees were unable to go to their workplace due to the intensity of the situation.
The
Israeli regime destroyed most infrastructure in Gaza. Sewage treatment stations were among the targets of the Israeli regime, where one of our main stations was completely destroyed and the rest are partially damaged. Israeli airstrikes also damaged the electricity network that generates the treatment stations. This has polluted the sea with untreated sewage.
The Gaza Electricity Distribution Company recently announced that its power supply services will be intermittent due to the lack of fuel used to generate electricity caused by Israel's ban of entering fuel. With the limited capacity of power supply due to the Israeli airstrikes of electricity networks, sewage water is directly treated into the sea. As a result, nearly 2 million Palestinians in Gaza now face a serious public health emergency.
There is a huge damage in the electricity network of the Gaza Strip. Electricity turned into a problem for Gazans since 2006, when Israeli regime destroyed the only electricity plant. Since then, all aspects of our lives have been negatively impacted. The electricity condition is terrible due to the Israeli blockade that prevents entering fuel.
In Palestinian refugee camps, the condition is even worse, where residents of the camp are suffering the shortage of clean water and bad health conditions since the Israeli blockade was imposed for more than 15 years. This led to the increase of diseases among the residents.
This is a terrible condition here. We are left without water and electricity. We are stuck at home because Israel targets any moving thing. There isn't any water for drinking, cleaning, or any other purposes. Israel intends to target our infrastructure and the water station as a punishment for all Gazans.
In addition to the Israeli blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip for about 15 years, the continuous violence against civilians and infrastructure has increased the suffering of 2 million Palestinians and undermined their rights of living and health. Ruba Shabet, Gaza.
The sixth round of talks to revive the nuclear deal known as the JCPOA comes to an end in Vienna. Delegates are headed back home for a short break, this time not for further consultations, says Iran's lead delegate, but for decision-making.
We are closer to a deal than any time in the past, but it doesn't mean that we are there. The remaining job is still difficult and needs lots of, you know, efforts and you know, further talks. So we decided to cut negotiations here, go back home, not only for consultations, but this time for decision-making.
The U.S. administration, represented by Robert Malley, has talked of a longer and stronger deal, but Iran has made it clear it will only agree to the restoration of the original JCPOA, a position reiterated by Russia.
It was agreed from the very beginning our aim was to restore the JCPOA in its original form. Nothing more and nothing less.
So
if you are talking about follow-on talks, it's something like JCPOA plus. And she actually, for example, the issues of regional security in the Persian Gulf is a separate topic.
Iran is still demanding the removal of all U.S. sanctions, including those imposed additionally under former President Donald Trump after his withdrawal from the deal in 2018. Iran says it would only come back to full compliance after it can verify sanctions removal. It's also seeking guarantees the U.S. will not withdraw from the agreement again. Without such an assurance, Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi says a return to the JCPOA will not be possible. Up until now, the U.S. has shown no signs it's willing to give that assurance. If a deal is to be reached in the next round or by mid-July, the right political decisions need to be made. Homolezki, Vienna.
Palestinian factions have congratulated the Islamic Republic of Iran for successfully holding its presidential election and the victory of Ibrahim Raisi, Iran's judiciary chief in the election. Palestinian factions said Raisi's election would strengthen Iran's commitment in supporting the Palestinian cause and the Palestinians' resistance against the Israeli occupation and crimes committed in the Palestinian territories.
We view the Iranian elections as consistent with a democratic process based on political pluralism and a vote of the Iranian people. His election would strengthen the support of Iran for the Palestinian cause.
Resistance group of Hamas congratulated the Islamic Republic of Iran for the success of the democratic process, holding of the presidential election and the victory of Ibrahim Raisi as Iran's president. The movement wished the Islamic Republic of Iran progress and prosperity. In a separate message, the Islamic Jihad movement congratulated the people of Iran on this great achievement, saying that again the people of Iran have reiterated their commitment to the path of revolution and Islamic establishment.
Raisi is one of the political figures in Iran who've openly stated their commitment to the Palestinian cause. What we witness lately proves that they continue the same policy and put the weight behind the resistance fronts.
At the end of the day, experts here say the results of the Iranian election is seen as a victory in the face of the propaganda of the enemy's mercenary media.
Iran has always stood by the Palestinians, and today with the election of the new president, Palestinians believe Iran's commitment to supporting the Palestinian cause and the Palestinian resistance would even strengthen. Mona Qandil, Occupied Ramallah.
On Friday, a Palestinian Day event dubbed Women Fighting for Freedom took place in the Verano Garden, not far from Rome's major University of La Sapienza. The one-day initiative gave the public a taste of what the next Palestine festival will be in September. The focus was on the role played by the women in safeguarding the Palestinian culture from the Israeli occupier.
The women play a crucial role in all struggles, whether they are Chileans, Cubans or Palestinians. It's the women who provide an education to the young Palestinians. It's the women who provide assistance in the refugee camps. It's them, again, who pass down our culture through the generations.
The role of the women fighting for freedom was discussed during a round table. The liberation of the territories from the Israeli occupation and the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination were also among the topics touched on during the meeting.
Over the past days, Israel has resumed bombarding the northern parts of the Gaza Strip. This after hundreds of Palestinians, including women and children, were killed in previous Israeli bombardments of the Gaza Strip carried out between May 10 and May 20. Israel's airstrikes also brought widespread devastation to the already impoverished territory.
What is going in Palestine is clearly against the international law, against the UN resolutions. And what is happening by keeping some countries their silence is giving impunity to the occupier.
purtroppo finché in questo mondo.
Unfortunately, nothing will change if the UN and all major countries continue not to take a firm stance on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
People at Rome's Palestinian Day event have called on Palestinians to remain steadfast and fight for their rights despite their suffering. Max Civili, Rome.